Oh yeah, Fractal Bitcoin. Welcome to the Bitcoin panel. I'm here with Carlinho.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby. Your video's actually freezing up a little, Carlos. But anyway, welcome to the Bitcoin panel.
It's a pleasure to be here. Hola, mucho gusto.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Pura calidad.
Yo quiero cerveza.
Yo también. Es viernes.
María va a la playa.
Yes, guapa.
My old, schooling coming through. All right. So welcome everybody to the Bitcoin panel. This is the weekly live stream where we just hang out. Bitcoiners hang out and chat. Definitely say hi in the chat. And we will, we're going to talk about some very interesting things. Carlos, you're going to tell us about how you've been. It's so much to even explain. I don't even know how to boil it down.
No worries, man. It's basically Bitcoin is now protecting the Guatemalan election system. And it's the first time that ever happened in the world. So more than happy to share.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to turn myself down a little bit more. Yeah. No, this is great. And you actually spoke to our meetup here in town last night because you're in Guatemala City, right?
I am in Guatemala City, right next to El Salvador, for those that don't know where Guatemala is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to visit El Salvador, but then I also want to come visit you. So, anyway, we'll have to plan a road trip. All right.
It's a short
trip. Here we go. Paul's here. He says, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Paul. Let's go. Thanks for being here, Paul. And so where should we start, Carl? By the way, we met in about a month ago at BitBlock Boom in Dallas. And then we also met at the Denver Halving Party. That was like, 3 weeks ago now? So that was cool. We got to hang out and meet. And so I'm really happy you're able to come on here. We'll talk for about a little less than an hour. I like to keep these panels a little, to an hour. So where do we start? Why don't we, the fact that Bitcoin can help secure elections is a fascinating topic, and it's not there's a lot to it. So why don't you step us through what you've been doing?
It might be helpful to say what we aren't going to discuss. We are not going to talk about e-voting. Electronic voting on the blockchain is not what happened. We are not talking about putting people's votes on the blockchain and causing blockchain bloat and that kind of stuff. So yeah, and it basically is, if for folks that want to learn more, I definitely suggest looking for a documentary online. It's called Immutable Democracy. I helped produce that. It's a short 15-minute documentary that just tells the story of a bit of how the Guatemalan voting system works and what ended up happening. And so it's the story of Bitcoin, the Open Timestamps Protocol, developed by Peter Todd, for those that don't know, that you can find that at opentimestamps.org. It's kind of an old tool at this point in the Bitcoin ecosystem. It's been around since 2017. And the Guatemalan Election Authority. And then where I came in was auditing the election, verifying that the votes that are being presented are actually added, correctly. And we did that with the help of Stackwork, a Lightning company. And that program is called Digital Witness, where we verify every vote together. And so a lot to unpack there. I kind of describe it as two different layers. Ooh, that's, yep. So that's the documentary that you're showing now, Immutable Democracy, 15 minutes, short and sweet, but gives you a sense of all the shenanigans and crazy stuff that happened in Guatemala for the elections last year, which, it's just kind of a preview of what's to come, potentially.
Yeah, I remember watching that, and it like they some authorities barged into this local place and they just took all the votes. They took everything. And it's like, what is this? Like it was just crazy. And people were trying to grab the boxes. And then these authorities were like, it's crazy, right?
It's so it's a unique example of state-on-state violence, or how a friend puts it, inter-cabal squabble. So, the election authorities, it's the classic, like, don't shoot the messenger idea. The election authorities are supposed to carry, out a process, and maybe in our case, they were, kowtowing to the regime in power in Guatemala, doing their bidding the entire time. But then, voting day happens, and assuming you live in a democracy where the votes are counted as cast, what happened in Guatemala was the regime was fired by the people, and the regime was unhappy with the results. And so they threw everything they had at it to try to change the result, including removing and attacking the election authorities to try to just, I guess, in their words, find the evidence of election fraud, because they were arguing election fraud. But for most people, more like planting election, fraudulent documents. And so it was nuts. I mean, Guatemala has been a democracy since 1985. That's our last, when our last revolution happened and our constitution was approved. We've had elections pretty much every 4 years since then. So at this point, almost 10 or anyway, it's like a lot of elections. Yeah. This had never happened before. Something to this degree where you have the Guatemalan justice system, specifically the election crimes unit, attacking the election authorities, accusing them of election tampering and ripping out all of the paperwork. So that, in the case of Guatemala, our election system is all paper-based. It's all paper ballots, in-person voting, no e-voting, nothing like that. And when the election crimes unit attacked the election authorities, they removed all the paperwork. And so they violated the custody of these sacred documents and making all of that evidence, tampered. It's no one trusts anything now, except that on election night, a lot of documents were scanned and published to the internet. And this local startup, Unsung Heroes, called Simple Proof, sold the election authorities a open timestamps service called an immutable backup. And so everything that was scanned from the election authorities on election night is timestamped to Bitcoin through the open timestamps protocol, meaning that people like myself who I downloaded all of the JPEG files, all the pictures that were published on the internet, we now are able to prove cryptographically that our JPEGs are the exact same that were published on election night. And so it basically means that there's this convoluted election crimes accusation that's going to go through the Guatemalan court system, where the election authorities have Bitcoin and their digital information to prove that no election fraud happened. So it's wild times.
That is wild. It reminds me of there's this one guy. His name is Viva Fry. He's a creator. He's a Rumble. He has a contract with Rumble, I believe. But he's great in terms of exposing all the shenanigans with government and everything. And he has a term. Him and Robert Barnes, they started using this term called confession through projection. And it's like it's a way that political people, they accuse the other party of doing what they're actually doing. So in this case, the government is trying to steal the election, but the way they do it is they accuse the other side of, oh, you're trying to steal the election, so we have to stop you. And it's like confession through projection. And when you start looking around, you see that everywhere, confession through projection. It's amazing. It's a psychological truth that just it just happens everywhere. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, when fiat puts a bunch of psychopaths in positions of control and narcissists, they'll never admit responsibility, and more often than not, what they're skirting and what they're accusing other people of doing is what they've been doing. It's even more bizarre in Guatemala, because I was an election auditor for the 2019 election. Some family members ran for Congress, And I was there in 2019 when the system really crashed, and it was, let's just say that there wasn't Bitcoin to prove what happened. And so the outcome was just, in my opinion, whatever people decided it needed to be. And so I've believe that there's a high likelihood of the 2019 elections in Guatemala having been fraudulent. And so, you know, the criminals got in power, and in 2023 they lose the elections, and immediately they retort to accusing the guys that won of committing election fraud. And like you said, confession through projection. It's like they even, I suspect, there are legitimate election fraud accusations in small and local elections that these folks tried to blow out of proportion in order to use the narrative of, well, if small local elections had fraud, then everything must be fraudulent. We have to repeat the entire election. And I suspect these people had something to do with that fraud. So it's literally what you're saying. It's like, I commit fraud in a small and local election as kind of insurance, because in case I lose, I could always say, look, there's fraud over here. There must be fraud in this one, because I can't lose. I'm everyone loves me, right? So it's just a crazy world we live in, but Bitcoin is an anchor of truth in a sea of lies.
Right. And so I want to break this down from the very beginning for the people watching. Very simply, what you did in 2023 it was the presidential election in Guatemala, correct?
We did all of it. So Guatemala had a presidential election. We had national Congress. We had municipal. We had the whole shebang. Every 4 years, we just reset the entire apparatus of government. And so
on election day, people mm-hmm. vote in person on paper. And what you did, again, this is nationwide, is you took pictures of the ballots and you Sorry, go ahead.
So the ballots are counted at the voting tables in a very transparent way, where your neighbor is the one that receives your ballot, and he counts that ballot in front of witnesses from all political parties. So it's in Guatemala, it's hundreds of thousands of people that do this simultaneously across 25,000 different voting tables. So it's all in person, it's all paper-based, and it's all done in front of tons of witnesses. And what they do is they take the individual ballots and they add them together to create a summary document at the table. So you would be assigned to a voting table along with 400 other people, and your vote is diluted, you know, essentially coin-joined within your 400 neighbors. And so the result is a public document, but through the mixing process of getting your votes with amongst your neighbors, you know, there's a 1 in 400 chance that people can see how you voted, right? Because your vote is mixed with your neighbors. And so those tallies are assigned to each party. And so that's how we go from having 9 million registered voters in Guatemala, which is, you know, how many people live in Colorado, you know?
I actually don't know. Maybe 9 million, maybe something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
So it's, you know, the size of Guatemala is comparative to, you know, not the most populous states, but it's certainly larger than the least populated states of the US. So it's comparable to a statewide election in the US. And so those 9 million votes are distributed amongst 25,000 tables, and so it turns into every election produces 25,000 documents that contain the results. And so it's not 9 million ballots that are hashed, it's only those totals.
Got it. So each table has an average of 400 citizens, and they vote, and there's a tally sheet, one per table, so there's 25,000 tally sheets. And those tally sheets, you take a picture of them, and you somehow hash them in real time, hash that image into the Bitcoin blockchain almost as like a timestamp, just immediately as soon as you hash it. Is that correct?
The few things is just it's 25,000 documents per election. And so because we had several elections, it on on the first election, it was like 125,000 documents. And yes, the authorities are the ones that are scanning them. So we didn't do this. This was 5.8 million people live in Colorado. So yeah. Guatemala has a lot more people in Colorado. We have 9.2 million registered voters. So that's adult population. We have 18 million total people. So, you know, we had 4.2 million people show up to the polls and actually vote. So we almost had the same number of votes as Colorado, for example, has people.
Right.
And so we take those, the election authorities scan those documents and they publish them to the internet. And I, if I can share my screen, I can show you guys literally how it happened.
There's a present button on the bottom. You should be able to do it.
Here we go. And so when those vote totals are scanned, they are made public on this website, which anyone can visit. It's trep.gt, TREP.gt. That stands for Preliminary Results Website of Guatemala, right? That's the GT. And so you click on here and you're shown our national totals for the presidential election. That's what's immediately toggled, but you can toggle between elections. And so this is our map, and these are how the totals were distributed amongst all the different competing parties. So every bar graph here that you're seeing is a competitor in the presidential election. But since these are just national totals, what this website allows is to drill in here. I can write 1, 2, 8, 7, for example. Any number between 1 and 25,000, essentially. And so instead of looking at a national total, I'm now looking at the individual results from one table, right? And so it's table number 1287, which I just randomly picked. And so what this system is saying is that the database is the result of adding all of these individuals' documents. But still, this is just a database, and we're Bitcoiners, so we want to verify. So there's this cool button here that takes you to the JPEG file that was scanned at the voting table or at the voting center. And you can see here it was written by Alvaro, Perla, and Alvaro, three citizens who did this work. The number here is 232 citizens showed up to vote, and the point join happened, and these votes on the numbers are assigned to all the competing parties on the left. And then on the right, you see the folks that the citizens that did this summary. They signed their document, but then all of the witnesses that were present also signed. So in this case, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 witnesses present that declare, legally, that this document totals are correct, at least in the physical paper form. And so everything's going great on the paper side up to this point. But of course, when the JPEG reaches the internet, for us here on May of 2024, we should ask ourselves, how do we know that this document hasn't changed since June 2023 when this election happened? And that's where the heroes over at Simple Proof were able to convince the authorities to add this orange button, which if you click on it, it'll take you to their website that will show the timestamp of when this document existed on Bitcoin. And so they proudly publish that they obtained this document at 9:10 p.m. on June 25th. And this document has this hash, which is the SHA-256. For those that are interested in cryptography and Bitcoin, SHA-256 is like the genetic code of a digital file. Like this information is, unique to this file. There's basically no way that this could be anything other than this file. So this fingerprint, this timestamp, or this hash exists from this file, but it was then registered on Bitcoin on block number 795956. And that block confirmation came at 9:24 p.m. So in this case, we're looking at an example of a document that existed on the internet as of 9:11 p.m. on June 25th and was timestamped to Bitcoin as of 9:24 p.m. So basically got sent on the next block to Bitcoin, along with all the other files that were received within that block. And so basically what is done is, instead of sending one transaction for every one of these, we actually have a single hash that's then combined into a Merkle tree to create a bunch of hashes together. And using fancy cryptography, we can reduce all of the files that were generated to a single root hash that then got sent to Bitcoin. And so through this means...
Because the hashes were... They take one hash and hash it with another one to create a new one and then combine it. That's the Merkle tree. And so like all of that data is embedded in that one hash right on the screen right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. And so once you actually find the transaction ID, you can go into your node, or in our case, we're looking at Mempool's node on the internet, and we look for that transaction and it comes up on the op return function of that transaction. That root hash exists on Bitcoin as of that block, as of that transaction. So we are using Bitcoin as a time chain, as a time stamping arbiter. Like Bitcoin in this case is not judging on the validity of the information. It's just providing a timestamp to say this JPEG that we were looking at, which contains all of these votes that were distributed this way, can be traced to this transaction on the mempool that happened on June 25th of 2023. So you'd have to reorg the entire Bitcoin blockchain, which at this point it's, 47,952 blocks. I mean, that's basically impossible. Maybe Ultron and, Rick Sanchez could do it, but, mortals like you and me surely cannot. And so what Simple Proof has done is, without causing blockchain bloat, creating this beautiful tree of trees, we use Bitcoin to confirm to the Guatemalan people that the information that's being published hasn't changed since that moment in time. And we believe that this proves that Bitcoin can be an independent arbiter of truth. The fact that no one can change Bitcoin allows Bitcoin to get used as a way.
Oh, we lost them. Uh-oh. All right. Yeah, he'll be back in a second, I'm sure. So Bitcoin can be used as the arbiter to basically timestamp all those different documents into a block. And yeah, it just timestamps it. So then later on, if somebody tries to adjust the JPEG picture to change it, to change the votes, like instead of 100 votes, now we're going to have 1,100 votes. And somebody can mess with the image later, but since we timestamped it initially, now we have the original that's timestamped, and we can prove that somebody, here he is. We can prove that if someone fudged the document. So, all right, you're back.
Sorry about that, internet issues.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I was just explaining that someone fraudulently changing the JPEG, that's the danger, right? That's what people can do. They can change all the JPEGs and say, oh, we got this many votes and we win.
That's what I believe happened in 2019, but it was impossible to prove. They made changes over 6 days. And basically what we did here now in 2023, the only window of time that any attacker had would have been on election night, in between those blocks. And so they had, 15 minutes as documents are coming in on election night, give or take. And so this doesn't mean that it's impossible to commit election fraud. It just forces any would-be attacker to have to pull it off in a much, much smaller window of time, making it ridiculously more difficult. So it's not that it's impossible. It's just much harder. And when people have to rush to do something, they usually make mistakes. And so if someone had attempted to commit election fraud, this would actually serve as cryptographic proof that they committed election fraud. And so it's not about an opinion that someone may have. It's actually based on mathematics. And so that's what I think is so, you know, important about this is I get attacked by people saying you're whitewashing election fraud. Like they could have changed the JPEGs before they published to the internet. And, you know, technically that's true, except that once they publish to the internet, they can't change that. And so if they committed election fraud, they have just provided everyone on the internet with cryptographic proof of election fraud. And all that you need to do is find any one of those people that were there physically who signed this, you know, in person. And the example I showed was like three people doing the work plus eight witnesses. I mean, that's 11 people that you could call and say, did you take a picture of the original? Do you have a paper backup? And like all of those people have paper backups, right? But so the difference between before is you'd get, you know, swallowed up in a storm of like figuring out what's true, what's not true, like differentiating all this. Whereas now you have a single anchor, right? The authority is making information public, but it's certifying it. It's standing behind it saying, we are so confident in this information that we are going to register it on Bitcoin so that anyone can independently verify using mathematics that we haven't changed this. And they can't. They literally can't. If they made, you know, funny stuff happen before, they're taking a huge risk. They're literally assuming that they can have thousands of people keep a secret. And I mean, I don't know about you, but just keeping a secret between two people is hard. So yeah. One person, having one person guard a secret is difficult, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just excited to share what happened because this isn't just for Guatemala. Guatemala has unique characteristics that made this possible, and I'm super proud as a Guatemalan and as a member of the volunteers that make up the voting system. I'm super proud of being the first country in the world to use Bitcoin to protect our voting system, and we think others can learn from our experience and use it.
Yeah. And so if you, okay, so for the next election, what improvements or what enhancements in your process are you considering, or are you thinking about?
Oh, for sure. So as an election auditor, once we downloaded everything and confirmed that we have the same exact information that's on Bitcoin, we then reviewed the whole thing using a crowdsource effort with thousands of people. That contributed to just, you know, with their own eyeballs, check the information and verify it. And we compared our results to the official results for all of the 2023 elections, which in total, when you sum up all the municipalities and everything, it was 367 elections that we verified. But we not only did that for 2023, we did it for 2019 and 2015. So three election years worth of elections in Guatemala, totaling over 1,000 elections. And we're the only election audit effort that has ever done that in Guatemala. Everyone else who attempted this always did just a sample, a small, you know, a statistically significant sample of usually just the presidential election. And so the amount of data that we looked at and the lessons that we learned is, you know, is literally volumes. We wrote a 272-page report publishing all of our findings, but focused on how, you know, what we've gleaned and learned from the data, especially over time, to come up with specific ways that the Guatemalan voting system can become the most trustworthy voting system on the planet by 2027. So that's our goal. Is our recommendations are basically saying, look, it's fantastic that we publish the official JPEG, but wouldn't it be nice if all of those witnesses that were there got a chance to take a picture themselves with their phone that they keep, that they know can't be tampered because they literally have the phone in their hands. And that picture gets added to the system so that instead of me showing you just the one JPEG, I could show you 11 JPEGs and they should all tell the same story.
Right.
And internally, like all of those JPEGs, because you know, to be a witness of the system, you have to KYC yourself with the election authorities. You have to get credentials. Like it's a legal, it's a special permit, right? Like when in Guatemala, the vote tallying happens, right? When the votes are actually counted, everyone that's in the voting center who's not, you know, authorized to be there has to be removed. And the police are outside. And if you're not a registered person who's, you know, gone, you know, prove that you're not a criminal, like you have to go through these hoops to demonstrate that you are a citizen who has a right to be there as votes are being counted. And so all of this data could basically, it's KYC that already happens, that the state already has on these people. And so, every photograph could be linked to the identities of all the people that were there. So if we ever have a table with different, you know, contradicting results, we can literally just call those people. You know, when there's currently a trial that's going to happen between the election authorities and the election crimes unit, and it's super hard to you know, call the right people to give testimony. In the future, this could disappear. But really, I think what disappears is when you have 10 different people looking at the same thing, taking their own picture. Like, I mean, the odds of someone being able to, you know, they're low, because what are you going to win? You're just going to be the one, you know, sucker that sticks out. And, you know, so that's our main recommendation. It's there's a lot of things that can improve the documents themselves. If I can pull it again, but the documents they are handwritten by 25,000 different people, and every person has a different handwriting style, right? Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes difficult to differentiate between a 1 and a 7, right? It's not always easy to say, if you're only looking at a number, it's like, is this a 1? Is it a 7? Is this a 4 or is it a 9? Mm-hmm. You know, in this case, this guy is really helpful, right? He writes his 7 with like a little, you know, very, you know, yep, clear definitions. But look up here, this 1 is not the same 1 as this 1, right? So it's like, right. So another recommendation we have is let's streamline this to the point where we encourage people to always write numbers in the same way, right? Basically give them a little, almost like a clock type of figure, right? Of just like, you know, right inside the box, right? Like, dude, the 9 is always this way. The 1 is always this way. So if we're able to, all of our recommendations are geared so that in 2027, arguing election fraud is ridiculous, because you can literally just download everything yourself. You verify that you're looking at the same exact data as everyone else using Bitcoin. And then you just grab all those files and you toss it into an open source compiler software that will publish as Digital Witness. And so anyone can just verify everything for themselves with the exact, you know, election documents. And I believe like the only way to eliminate the possibility of election fraud is to encourage and have as many citizens as possible actively auditing and verifying for themselves. But for whatever reason, we've kind of just accepted this idea that it's too expensive, it's too hard, or like people can't handle the truth or something. You can't handle the truth. I disagree. Like I think the don't trust verify philosophy that Bitcoin has is at the root of democracy. Every historical election, whenever a democracy started, like you had everyone making sure that the vote happened correctly. It's just kind of over time, as the slow creep of fiat just starts to degrade everyone's, you know, lives, that we just kind of assume someone else is going to do the hard work of verifying. And it's hard work. It took us this project, digitalwitness.io, for those that want to go and check it out. We've got a few documentaries that tell our story. We've been trying to do this for 6 years, and it was hard. And what we want is for it to be easy next time. We don't want to, you know, do so much work, and we don't want to be the only ones doing it. We believe everyone can and should verify for themselves, because the only way that, you know, when someone's saying, oh, they stole the elections, the only way to know for sure is to say, I sat down with everything and I checked it myself. And right. At that point, it's like, if you're either going to find election fraud and find proof of it. And, you know, I'm very glad that that didn't happen in Guatemala this year. I wasn't sure that that's what was going to happen. I did find some very, very concerning things happening in local government in smaller elections. But on the national scale, what I found is, I believe that the specter of election fraud on the national scale in Guatemala, again, this is what I found in Guatemala, that specter provides cover for people to do shenanigans and get away with stuff on smaller elections. People are too busy or too preoccupied fighting each other on the presidential stuff that no one's paying attention to the local elections. And so, you know, it's
interesting.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Bitcoin is not only upending the entire financial world, literally. Bitcoin is just rampaging and devouring the monetary systems across the globe. But now it's also shedding light onto elections. And it's funny, because I think the people in power, they don't really want this. They don't want transparent elections, man. They don't. But at the same time, when someone like you and me and all of us come and say, look, we want fair elections, it's hard for the criminals in charge to say, no, we don't want that. They have to say yes, and Bitcoin gets its foot in the door, and eventually Bitcoin wins, right?
But that's the goal. I mean, the maybe there's some folks up, you know, in the Wizard of Oz is there somewhere pulling the strings, but the reality is elections and voting they're carried out by local people, right? I was a volunteer in my local neighborhood elections, and it's 99 times out of 100, it's just hardworking people that realize, if I don't show up to, you know, organize the voting in my neighborhood, who's going to show up, right? Like there's a fair amount of participation from people that don't trust what's happening, you know, out in the halls of power, of saying no, in our neighborhood we run our elections, right? There's a strong tradition of that, and the folks that are involved in that are very, you know, more often than not, just good people that are trying to do what they can to help their neighbors. And so my message to Bitcoiners is, don't forget your neighbor, right? Like, those people that are doing that work on the elections are orange pill friendly, right? They are prime people to just reach out to and say, hey, there's this thing called Bitcoin that can be useful to you. And I believe we've proven that using Bitcoin in this context provides people with another touch point. And if I'm not asking people to do this for democracy, I'm not asking people to trust your elected officials, like, that's up to you. I have my own conflicting thoughts about democracy. What I am saying is, there's this thing that happens frequently, you know, in democracies all over the world, that's effectively a consensus algorithm, right? And Bitcoin achieves consensus every 10 minutes for the entire monetary network, trillions of dollars worth of value. And we do it with, you know, every 10 minutes without fail, more or less, right? The difficulty adjustment aside, on average, every 10 minutes. And yet, you know, this other consensus algorithm called voting happens every 4 years, more or less, and it's a shit show and people don't trust it, but it takes up all of our resources, of all our attention, of our time. And so it's just an opportunity for people to say, hey, let me help you. There's this shield called Bitcoin through the open timestamps protocol and how we timestamp stuff to Bitcoin that you can use to protect yourself if you're unlucky come November and get hit by a tornado of cloud world and nonsense. Like this you can use this to set the staff down like Gandalf and say, you shall not pass, right? And they won't forget that. They'll appreciate it. It happens in their world over in Normie land, and it just opens an opportunity to then talk to them about, well, if you know, Bitcoin did this as kind of a positive externality, a secondary effect, but really it's because of the monetary system that Bitcoin can do this. And it just makes it easier for you to reach people with the message of Bitcoin. I found that here in Guatemala, like it is not an exaggeration to say that Bitcoin helped to protect the Guatemalan voting system, that our current president, our current legislative body, and many of our municipal governments are only there because Bitcoin helped to make sure that they weren't tossed out. And so it's just a lot easier to talk to the mayor of a town or the president of a country about Bitcoin when they know for a fact that it helped them protect their election result.
Right. You know, another beautiful thing about using Bitcoin in this way is that I'm sure there's going to be people out there who say, oh, we can come up with a brand new voting system on a blockchain and we'll have the government run the blockchain and then everybody will vote on the blockchain. And it's like, yeah, but dude, you're just recreating the same. They can scam the block. They'll find a way to scam the blockchain if it's their own blockchain that they're creating specifically for elections. And that's the beauty of using Bitcoin, because it's, they can't mess with it and it doesn't belong to any government. It's just beautiful.
Well, we found it very helpful when talking to the authorities of saying, look, this isn't something that's going to change anything that you already do. Like, we don't require a change in the law. Don't take any risks on anything. You do you, man. You do you and you're doing good. Like, you do you. But what's your plan to protect against artificial intelligence attacks? If you publish anything to the internet, if you allow people in your neighborhood to verify your results by publishing data like we do in Guatemala, how are you going to defend yourself if a bunch of losers or whoever decides to create fake information using AI? It's like, it's ridiculously cheap now to flood the world with millions of fake copies of something. How do you tell the difference between the signal and the noise? And their answer was, well, we didn't have any plan for that. We were just going to assume that people don't want to attack the election is more often than not what, or like they shouldn't do that. It's like, well, if you're responsible for an election in a small county somewhere and you're just hoping not to get attacked, sorry, but you're just asking for it. Like you might find yourself in jail, buddy. And so here's this option that's actually cheap. And to your point, we've been asked, so why are you using Bitcoin? It's like, well, A, we are using it in the most minimalist way possible. And for those that are concerned that this sounds like ordinals or NFTs on Bitcoin, it's like, no. It's not the JPEG files that are going on Bitcoin. It's the hashes, and it's actually the Merkle roots of the Merkle tree. So it's we could timestamp a trillion documents into a single hash, and we still have more hashing to do, right? Like it's one transaction per block is what it comes down to, and that's manageable, especially for a democracy. And so if you're going to choose a blockchain, I mean, if you're doing it for security purposes, I mean, there's no reason to use anything else. Like, there is no second best. There is just one, because, you know, using the one blockchain that can never be tampered, that no one controls, is exactly why this matters. because when inevitably there's the inter-cabal squabble, right, where the party on the right is saying that the party on the left is stealing something because, you know, they're upset for whatever reason and they want to shoot the messenger, which is just some basically some county clerk, you know, some administrative archival assistant or a poor IT guy out there somewhere running a cloud. It's no, it's not your opinion. It's the, you know, Bitcoin blockchain that is run by tens of thousands of people all over the world that are backing you up. And no amount of energy or hate or trolls online can change it. It's just simply math. And it's cheap. So it's like, if you're not currently using open timestamps to protect your most sensitive information as a Bitcoiner, like, you should. If you're new to Bitcoin, your class of, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, look at opentimestamps.org. It's much like Bitcoin. It's that it's very easy for individuals. It's much harder for institutions. So if you're an individual, you can use open timestamps, and Bitcoiners everywhere have been. It's a part of what we're doing is just drawing more attention to this tool, because, you know, Bitcoiners rarely agree on anything. But everyone loves open timestamps. Like, go to opentimestamps.org, read about it, learn it, use it. No one hates this. Like, everyone's on board. And it's so rare to find consensus on Bitcoin on anything. And all we did was basically turn this open timestamp system that works for, you know, really easy for individuals, we turned it into an industrial scale version of it. And that's what you'll find at film.simpleproof.com, which is the documentary Immutable Democracy.
Right. I had that. Yeah. This website up earlier. Yeah. This is the.
Yep. And yeah, if you want to go to simpleproof.com, you can also find us there. It's the mission of Simple Proof is, you know, simply prove things. It shouldn't be hard for us to just prove that something is real. And that's what we're doing. We want to uphold information integrity, allowing immutable record keeping and trustless verification. I want to live in a world where the state, you know, the government, whenever they publish anything, I want it all timestamped to Bitcoin. The government will always have the right or privilege to decide what is true, you know, what your voting records say, what your property deeds say, what your license, you know, driver's license or whatever, like, but every time that they issue those documents, they should get the right to issue them, but they should never have the right to change them. And I think currently they, like, how do we trust the documents that we look at, right? It's like, if we don't get timestamping to Bitcoin where it's independently verified, and like, how do you trust that? If you ever get sued by the state, are you sure that they're not gonna present phony documents? Like, I wouldn't put it past some, not all the bureaucrats, but some there are some bad people everywhere, right? And
yeah,
it's not a matter of don't be evil. It's a matter of can't be evil, right? And I think this open timestamps helps us bring a world with tools that are available today. It helps us create a world where lying and fake information and falsities is harder. So, right. Happy to share.
Yeah, and it feels to me like all of this, you know, the timestamping to the Bitcoin blockchain, this is like version one, or maybe even version 0.5 or something. Like, I just feel it. Like, in the next 2, 3, 4 years, probably, definitely by the 2027 election in Guatemala, everything you're working on is going to be like version 2.0, and it's going to be really easy to do, more handy, and then when it's that easy, then the rest of the world can sort of look at it and adopt it in a more easy way too. And real quick, BTC Moon guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh, I hit my mic too. All right. And Paul says BTC Moon guy is the man. That's right. He is. He's the man. I have a picture on my wall. It says the man, and it's BTC Moon guy. He's right there. He doesn't know that, but I, you know, All right. So, yeah. Yeah, see, look, we got conversation happening. All right. So, yeah, we're still so early, and just the fact that we have Bitcoin as a base layer, it's like the strongest bedrock ever created in ever humanity. And we can build on that bedrock because it is that strong. That's like the deeper beauty of Bitcoin, right? It's not just number go up. It's like, man, this is something, it's world changing, right? And we can never go back either, right?
Yeah, it's truth. You know, was it Archimedes who said, give me a lever strong enough and I will, pull the world. So yeah, Bitcoin is our lever. We're in Guatemala, we're just trying to, show this example that has made it easier to just talk to folks that are just discounting Bitcoin for, the wrong reasons. They just haven't gotten lucky enough to get destroyed by fiat yet. It'll happen, but it'll be more painful, 8 years from now. Us lucky folk that got wrecked earlier, and they're now like trying to get them over the abyss, right? It's like, come over. It's so much better over here. I just think that we don't necessarily need to wait for fiat to destroy everything, right? Bitcoin will win regardless. I think that the kind of world that we can expect if we just wait and don't do anything except to hodl is not necessarily a nice world to live in, And so just I invite Bitcoiners to visit simpleproof.com, reach out to us. We're on Noster because, Twitter banned us because Bitcoin plus elections get you banned like immediately.
Man.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter personally, Carlos Torriello. But if you want to engage with Simple Proof, just go to simpleproof.com, email us, go to Noster. And what we're doing is we want to get this into the hands of as many people as possible to defend against the slow creep of madness and nonsense. And as a company, we're extremely thankful and appreciative of the open source community that led to us, so that we want to continuously work together with the free and open source developers to support them so that more tools like this continue to build. And we hope to have some news on that soon to share. But yeah, like you were saying earlier, this is all these tools already exist, and we will do our best to make them simpler and easier for anyone to use. And yeah, just reach out. And if you care if you're convinced that your election is going to be a shit show, like, yeah, it probably will be. So just, go and knock on your county clerk's door or election authority locally and ask them, what's your plan to protect against artificial intelligence? And there's this documentary that tells the story of how the Guatemalan election authorities have avoided jail because of this cheap insurance, just good technology that is an anchor of truth in a sea of lies.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I hope the message gets spread. I mean, okay, this fall in the U.S., we have the presidential election. This is all so new, and even Bitcoin is not even mainstream yet, so it might be difficult this presidential election, but definitely we can try. Because we have to start somewhere, right? We have to plant seeds. We have to start by planting seeds. We're not going to go all the way to the goal in one shot. It's seeds.
And yeah, this isn't the panacea. Like some folks care about blockchain voting and trying to come up with all these gnarly algorithms. It's like that's not my path. It's like there's no way we aren't, like, November is going to be a shit show no matter what we do. Like there's no power on this earth that can stop that from happening. But I do think there are small places where Bitcoiners live, right? Like, do you want to live in a community that is protected, right, against the onslaught of insanity? And if you don't, then it's like, well, then why do you live there? maybe you should join another citadel or start considering moving. But it's like, if you do like where you live, if you think you're surrounded by neighbors and people that care, not all of them obviously, but some of them do, and it's a nice place to live. Like, this is something concrete that people can do that sends a message that Bitcoin's not just this number go up, and it's not, you know, SBF and all the lies that are constantly thrown at us. Bitcoin is truth. And so truth is powerful. It is, we now have the tool. There's a lot of battles to fight, though. And I just do hope that more people stand up for truth, more people stand up for Bitcoin, because otherwise we might end up living in that, you know, dystopian world where it's, you know, Mad Max, and, you know, I don't want to get there. Like, we can stop that a little bit, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I think we will stop it for sure. All right, so I'm going to put the links to everything in the description and the show notes below and all that. I'll do that as soon as we're done, pretty much. But Carlinho, this was great, man. You're doing great work. I really just, you know, from the whole Bitcoin community, I just want to tell you thank you, and just keep going. Keep being an inspiration for us, because we need people like you to help push us forward, right? Like, there are a lot of people who are willing to do things and especially put their heart into something, but we don't all know what to do. So thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Just don't leave us hanging. There's plenty of other places to do it, and we like working. We work well with others. So reach out. Let's do this. And just don't abandon your neighbors. You know, it's the onslaught of Clown World, the tornado will just get crazier. But we can carve out places of peace and resistance. So let's do it. And it's just a pleasure as a Guatemalan to be able to share something that's homegrown that hopefully the entire world can benefit from.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Austin. Yeah, hello, Bitcoiners. Another great day to be a Bitcoiner. And Paul says, great show. Thanks, Paul. All right, thanks, everybody. We're going to leave it here. Carlinho, don't disconnect yet.
No worries.
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next Monday for a Bitcoin news video, but enjoy your weekend, right? Never forget, we have to live our lives too. So do something special this weekend. And by special, I mean good for yourself, not just go out and get hammered or something. Like develop your family relationships and be in nature and do good things, because we're only on this planet for a short time. So enjoy it for real. So, all right. Thanks, Carlinho. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Adios.